This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Most of us start panicking if we can't breathe for more than, say, 30 seconds, but just a few minutes without air and things can get very dangerous. But freediver Vitamia Marici set a world record of 29 minutes and 3 seconds underwater. 29 minutes and 3 seconds. It sounds absolutely impossible. So let's find out how on earth someone can do it. We're joined by Teresa Larkin, Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong. Teresa, welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And excited to find out how we can hold our breath a little bit longer, mm-hmm. because if the average person can barely last a minute, what does someone actually have to do to prepare their body for half an hour underwater?
Oh, it is crazy, isn't it? Like, for most of us, we would struggle for a minute, honestly. And yet, to think so, this record was set with breathing pure oxygen for 10 minutes prior to the breath hold.
Oh.
But even so, Vitamir, this person who's got this record, even without doing the oxygen breathing prior, he can still hold his breath for more than 10 minutes. So it's pretty crazy.
I don't know what to say. I'm just thinking I'd be panicking. I couldn't do it. Is it real? Can you definitely hold your breath for that long?
Yeah. So it's super interesting because, I can explain how they do it. But even in Vitamir's interview, he said, we don't know the limits because someone might be able to hold their breath for 30, 40 minutes, but we're not going to know because it's pushing the boundaries of literally dying, so it's a really crazy threshold. But so the freedivers do some really intense training, and part of it is, as you mentioned, mental training to overcome that fear and the anxiety of taking another breath. But it's a lot of training, and so a lot of it's physical as well. And so there's lots of different aspects to it. So the first part is that they do lots of breath work and lots of just cardiovascular exercise so that their lungs can essentially increase in volume. So most of us, when we're breathing normally, we only use a part of our lungs. We use most of them, but definitely not near the whole amount. But when we really use our diaphragm to take a big, deep breath in, we can expand our lungs up to around, say, 6 to 8 liters of air, which is a lot. It's probably hard to imagine that we can have up to, say, 3 to 4 liters in each of our lungs. But these freedivers, they can hold around 11 liters in total. And that's just from doing all these diaphragmatic exercises. So really controlling their diaphragm to contract it right down and draw in as much oxygen as possible. And so that then they can have this store of oxygen before they go into the breath hold. So that's sort of the first part, is that real physical cardiovascular training.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you also use pure oxygen beforehand. How does that help? Isn't it dangerous?
It is dangerous, actually. And so there's so many risks with this. It's not just the risk of holding your breath, it's the risk of the pure oxygen as well. So yeah, you're right, it is dangerous. So it's interesting because we think about how we need oxygen to survive, even without having oxygen for a few minutes, our brains can go into, fatal damage, essentially. But yeah, so the air around us, it's only around 21% oxygen. So often these freedivers in this particular breath hold, it's called an oxygen-assisted breath hold in the Guinness Book of World Records, they're allowed to breathe in pure oxygen before the attempt. So breathing that pure oxygen in means that he's not wasting around breathing in, predominantly nitrogen, which is what we breathe in. So he's been able to then fill his lungs and his airways with pure oxygen, which is the only thing that can sustain our tissues and our cells during that time. So he's basically like packed his airways with oxygen, and then he's been able to hold his breath. But the biggest thing that he's been able to overcome, and this relates to that mental training, is that even though it's oxygen that's essential for our cells to survive, it's actually the buildup of carbon dioxide which causes our involuntary reflex to breathe.
Oh.
So when our cells are using oxygen, they're producing carbon dioxide all the time, and the only way we can remove that from the body is to breathe it out. but it's damaging if it builds up. And so it's actually the buildup in carbon dioxide in our blood that is the initial trigger to the brain to take a new breath. And so that's the first big trigger that these freedivers train to overcome. So they basically desensitize their brains to high carbon dioxide, so that even though they're getting this message that says you need to take another breath, they've somehow trained their brains to be able to say, we get that there's, you know, carbon dioxide building up, but we know we're not going to die yet because we know we've got enough oxygen stored. So it's an amazing reflex to overcome.
I wonder also if they're overcoming, I suppose, that anxiety that I know, you know, you and I would probably have after 30 seconds.
Definitely.
Oh, my God, get me out of here. I mean, if they can overcome that, I wonder if they're calmer people in real life, because essentially that's the same fight or flight thing, isn't it, going on there? Like, I've got to get out to save myself. You know, there's a threat here. I wonder if they're more calm and chilled in general.
Absolutely. And they would just have such good breath control. And I mean, I did breath work last year and I have to say that it is super beneficial. Like, it is really beneficial just even to, you know, embrace that deeper breaths, or like to use the breath to calm down. And it's a really good thing to counteract that fight or flight, the stress response. Don't get me wrong, I still would be having a fight or flight response if I was trying to hold my breath underwater. And mine was more just for overall health and reducing inflammation and things like that. But yeah, so with this, they really train, and a lot of it is meditation and it is breath work and it's mindfulness. And he spoke about in it how he reached a certain point where it must be physically so challenging, because even when you get past that reflex to breathe because of the high carbon dioxide, that's sort of the first point that none of us would be able to get past that. You know, without training, we wouldn't. And then after that, it's when there's the low oxygen. That's another trigger to the brain to say, you need to take another breath. It gets to a point where the diaphragm starts to involuntarily contract. So then they also have to control the diaphragm to calm those contractions, because it's basically the diaphragm just saying, I'm going to override now. I'm going to force a breath. But apparently after that, then there's this nice mental peace where, you know, they're training to maintain this calm state. And yeah, like it's pretty amazing. And I mean, they have to be super calm, and that's why they lie really still, so that their body is not using the oxygen up as quickly. So the oxygen they've got stored will last for longer.
You know, you've really enticed us. There's obviously this amazing inner peace that we'll never feel. that people are capable of feeling if they can do this diving.
That's so true. Oh, we can get it from that, you know, mindfulness the still breath, just with, you know, still having some oxygen come in and some carbon dioxide go out, even if it's slowly.
I wonder if it is the same sort of, if you got into deep mindfulness, if it is the same level of peacefulness that they get that you've described.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, and it's interesting because they do talk about that, that there's this real, like, still, and I mean, I guess it's something that, yeah, like you say, we will not, I can assure you, we will not experience, because you've got to have trained for so long to get past that reflex. But yeah, it's funny because I think to myself, I suppose it is like, say, for any of us, whatever we do in life that makes us the most still, you know, whether it's a float tank or a slow meditation, you know, that is a really stilling thing, and it's so calming. But this is still on a whole new level. You know, your breath isn't even moving. Your lungs aren't even moving. So, yeah, I can imagine that it is just something that they've also practiced, and that they're able to go into that mindset more quickly each time.
We're chatting with Teresa Larkin from the University of Wollongong about how a free diver managed to hold his breath underwater for nearly 30 minutes. Teresa, what's the biggest danger if an everyday person tries to hold their breath too long at the beach or in a pool?
Yeah, so the first is that lowered amount of oxygen. So the lowered oxygen can, you know, cause unconsciousness and coma, and ultimately it can lead to being fatal, you know, like it's necessary for our brain. But the problem is that because if you're trying to hold your breath and you're in a pool, it's actually the building carbon dioxide that will trigger the brain. And without having practiced to overcome that, the brain will cause us to take a breath. And so it's also that problem then that if someone's underwater and they take a breath, then obviously they're breathing water in, and so they will essentially suffocate. So yeah, it is really dangerous, and people can have toxicity from the carbon dioxide being too high, because that becomes acidic in the body, but it also damages the brain. And so that can happen, that damage, before the low oxygen even.
Right.
But as you mentioned, breathing in the pure oxygen, which is only what some of them do, that's also dangerous, because it's a paradox where we need oxygen to survive, but too much of it is damaging. So even when people have oxygen therapy for something in hospital, you know, or people who have had the bends, they can only do that for a limited amount of time, because the more oxygen that we breathe in, like pure oxygen, it produces those free radicals, which are damaging chemicals that can damage the body. Yeah. So even that, so in this case where he's breathed in the pure oxygen first, he has the risks of low oxygen. So, you know, losing consciousness, losing supply to the brain, high carbon dioxide toxicity, but also then the pure oxygen toxicity. So it's, yeah, this real mash of different things. But it's interesting because he beat the world record by 5 minutes, which is heaps. And then when he finishes, he just sort of, you know, he's like breathes out a bit because he's got to get the carbon dioxide out. It only takes him a few breaths until he's fine.
Oh.
And yeah, so I think to myself, wow, how interesting that he just must have known he was past that time. I imagine he's able to see a timer. But yeah, that was interesting that he said, you know, we don't know how much further we can go. Like, can we stock up on oxygen and last for longer, but bit by bit, people are going to push it.
Oh, that's fascinating. I suppose, Teresa, if we finish up with this question, what can we take from this experience? Obviously, we're never going to experience, but what does it tell us, I suppose, about the hidden potential of our bodies that we could utilize in everyday life? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I do think it's about the diaphragmatic breathing. So the more we can breathe with our diaphragm, which is that big muscle, you know, between the thoracic and the abdominal cavities, the more that we can expand our lungs and contract the diaphragm down and breathe fully. So that's like that belly breathing in yoga or something. So really to fully breathe in and to also to breathe fully out, you know, to take time during the day to slow our breath, especially the out breath, is really positive for our mental health and well-being, so physical and mental. So, yeah, I think that's our take home, that anytime we ourselves can slow down the breath, it's a positive.
Do you know there's thousands of people at the moment who've just slowed down their breath listening to that?
Yeah.
Including me.
Yeah, it's perfect. And it's something that's so accessible, you know, at any time you can do that however often you need, and it's something that we all have. And the more you do it, the more trained you become, the fitter you are when your diaphragm's working better. So, yeah, and we often just, we don't use it. You know, we all know when we're stressed or tense, we're breathing really shallow and quickly. So, yeah, the deep breathing is definitely a positive thing.
Teresa, always love chatting with you. It is so fascinating. Thank you so much. And
great,
can't wait to talk again.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I'll chat to you soon.
That is Teresa Larkin, Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.